Father God, we just thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, right now for each and every person that's here tonight. And we thank you, Father, you have a plan and a purpose for their life. And we thank you, Father, they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. We thank you tonight as we go to study your word. We thank you, Father, that your word will not return void. But, Father God, that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us. And help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. But, Father God, we thank you that we'll take that word that springs forth life on the inside of us. And we'll go out and share it in the highways and the byways to the people who are down and out. Share the love of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying, hurting world. Father God, we thank you for revival to this generation. We thank you, Father, for revival to this nation. We thank you for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And Father God, we thank you today. We come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own might, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability that you be lifted up. And we thank you today as we go to minister your word. We thank you, Father, that they will not see me ministering, but will see you ministering through me. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father God, we thank you most of all for the anointing that's here tonight. That anointing that changes us, that anointing that saturates us, that anointing that sets us free. And we thank you that that anointing is here and present in our midst. And Father God, we thank you for mom and dad as they're there in New York. We thank you, Father, for great healings and miracles and great things taking place there. We thank you for testimonies that we shall hear and we shall see. And we thank you, Father, for everything you are doing both here and around the world. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to be here with you tonight. Also want to welcome all you that are watching us online at rhema.tv. Well, tonight I'm actually going to minister on the same thing I ministered Sunday night at Oklahoma City. I actually don't always minister my messages. I preach there. I don't always preach them here. But if you want to hear those, you can go to rhemabiblechurch.com, click on the Oklahoma City page, and you can go to the media there, and we have those live. We have those the audio portion. We don't video down there, but you can hear those. But someone said, "Well, why are you going to preach that one?" Because it was good. All right. No, it's because I said a few things that I've actually, I don't know if I've ever preached here before. I'm not that, you know, just if I have, I don't remember it. Maybe I have because I slept since last time I preached here. Anyway, but I'm going to start out in 1 John 4:4, and actually that's the scripture that Dad left off on Sunday morning, but actually I was already going to do that scripture before he actually, you know, touched on it, but it's a good scripture. We're going to start there. Most of you obviously know what it says. It says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world," and we have to always remember that. But let me ask you this. How many have ever won anything? Anyone ever won anything? Been on a winning team, you know, or maybe you're just a fan. Maybe your team, you know, won the World Series. You know, maybe went in 104 years, however long it was before. Of course, that's older than I am. You know, I can't wait till the Cowboys win the Super Bowl again. You know, it's going to happen probably this year. You know, obviously. You know, that always feels good. But you know, I remember not too well. It's been a while ago now. Where actually I hit about a 25-foot putt and won $500. And so that really felt good because I actually did something to win, you know, and the $500 felt really good, you know. You know, it always feels good to win. Amen. So I want to read the New Living Translation of this verse because this says it a way I really like it. It says, "But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people. Because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world." So, you know, it feels really good to win after you win. But you know what? What really we need to understand is before we win, we've already won. Because he's already won. And so we need to start thinking more like winners and less like losers. Because sometimes whenever we face battles and situations and circumstances, we kind of go in with a losing mentality. You know, obviously the scripture is saying greater is he that's on the inside of you than he's in the world. But what he's really saying is you've already been made a winner. So quit acting like a loser. You know, and the same feeling that overtook you after you won something, after I won $500, or after your team won the Super Bowl or the World Series or the NCAA National Championship, you know, that same feeling that overcame you is how happy you were, is how happy you need to be, even whenever things are not really going good. And why are you happy? Because you know what you possess on the inside. You know, I feel sorry for those that don't know the greater one on the inside, those that don't have the answer. But I mean, we should, you know, we should be different. Because we have the greater one. But you know, it is really strange because a lot of Christians I know, they don't act like they have the greater one. They don't act like they've won. You know, and so obviously, they don't know what they have on the inside. You know, one of the biggest shames in life is people that have unused talent and ability. You know, and it's a shame whenever you see them, you know, like I just saw some, well, he happened to be on the Dallas Cowboys, but, you know, he said he flunked his fifth drug test. Well, obviously, you know, when you keep flunking drug tests, you can't be on the field, and so you can't use your talent and your ability, you know, and, but here's the deal, is you have talent and ability you never use because you don't realize the greater one's on the inside of you.
That's right.
And because you don't realize that, you start having a pity party, or you start acting like a loser, or you don't know what to do, or you begin to cry out, Lord, help me, do something. You realize that Jesus did something 2,000 years ago. That's when he took care of your problem. And some people kind of want Jesus, you know, to die on the cross again or something like that, but he's not going to. He's already done it for you. He said, you know, guys, I've already provided the victory. It's time for you, through your faith in the Lord, to understand you've already been victorious. So if you think about the greater one, you don't get so upset about what you're going through. People say, but it looks tough. It doesn't matter what it looks like. You know, here's the thing. How tough it looks to you, it doesn't look too tough to God. I mean, you know, I know people that are, you know, fretting over, you know, $5,000 bill. I mean, that sounds like, I mean, you know, I don't mean a $5,000 bill like money, but if, you know, they owe $5,000. All right? And they're trying to figure out how God's going to take care, or how they're going to take care of that. But you know what? I don't think $5,000 sounds hard to God. Now, you realize this is the same God that saw an earth that was worthless and said, let there be light, and there was light. The same God that created man out of dust. I mean, you know, how hard is it for you to get what you need? It's not really that hard. You know, but when you understand you're victorious, then quit acting like a loser. Now, you know, there is a reason, obviously, and I point it out all the time. The reason you act like a loser, the reason you think like a loser, is because you have the loser talking to you. All right? The devil himself, the liar himself, will try to get into our mind, because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he'll try to tell us that we're a loser, tell us that we're worthless, tell us that there's no way we're going to make it through this situation. You know, last time it was different. You made it through, but this time, you know, the things are, you know, you just haven't been a good Christian. Why would God want to bless you? And see, he wants to bless us because he loves us. Because he cared about us. And sometimes, see, people almost have the mentality that Jesus, you know, came for Christians. No, he came for the world. He came for sinners. And so, you know, even if we mess up, he still loves us. And he still cares about us. And the only reason you act like a loser is because you think you're a loser. But whenever you think about the greater one, it's hard to think you're a loser. Because nobody thinks God's a loser. No one thinks Jesus is a loser. All right? But so many times our mentality, you know, your mom used to say, actions speak louder than words. The way you act like that, you know, your situation is too tough for God. And even though you have the greater one, you know, this is going to be a tough one. Do you realize that God doesn't think things are tough? Now, you know, the problem is that you're too educated. You know, because, you know, over in Africa where they, you know, these people somehow have no education, someone tells them the scripture and they like, really? And boom, miracles happen. Why? Because they don't try to figure out how it's going to happen. They just see, you know what, if God's really that good, he can do it for me. You know, and it's just that simple. But the deal is, we don't realize that the greater one's on the inside of us. And even if we do, you know, it's one thing to have the greater one, and another thing to use the greater one. You know, I can give you $1 million today and put it in your bank. I'm not going to, but, you know, I could, you know, and you put it in your bank account, and you could have $1 million, and you could still starve to death. You realize people can starve to death with $1 million? Because that $1 million only buys you food if you go out and purchase it. All right, as long as it's in the bank, it's not buying you anything. You might earn a little interest, and if it's on little, if it's in the bank. Because I look at my interest, oh, I earned 23 cents this month. Well, praise God. I'm going to be a millionaire before long. That 23 cents adds up. Yeah. Anyway. But, you know, we have to use what we have. And maybe you need to understand what you have. Maybe you need to realize that you're going with the advantage. Because so many times when we look at our situations, we don't feel like we have the advantage. But you've already won. It's already been done. It's already happened. And, you know, and I personally believe that Jesus loves you enough that if it was only you, you're the only person that lived on the earth, I'll be kind of boring, he would have done it just for you because he loves you that much. And you have to think about the Bible and those aspects that God loves me so much, he would have done it just for me. You know, and it's hard to think like he doesn't care if you realize how much he does care. But I want to go back to John chapter 14, and I want to look at, actually from the Amplified Version, starting with verse 19, I want to look at what Jesus said as, you know, right before he went away, right before he died on the cross. John 14, verse 19 says this in the Amplified Version, "After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live in you. Because I live, you will live also. On that day, when that time comes, you will know for yourself that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." So Jesus says, you know, in that day, I'm going to dwell with you. All right, skipping down to verse 25. Jesus says, "I have told you these things while I am still with you, but the Helper," in parentheses, puts Comforter, Advocate, Intercessor, Counselor, Strengthener, Standby, "the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place to represent me and act on my behalf, will teach you all things, and he will help you remember everything that I have told you." So you know what? Jesus said, I must go, but when I go, the Holy Spirit's going to come. And he's going to help you. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. He's going to teach you. You know, it's kind of like one of these multi-purpose tools. Now, you know, I don't know about you, but my mom has bought me 5 or 6 different multi-purpose tools, you know, that you open up, has all kinds of different things in there. The latest one I just got actually has a hammer on it, which, you know, I'm really glad for that, because the last one I had pliers on the top, and I use those pliers as hammers all the time. So, you know, here's the thing. It's like we have a multi-purpose tool on the inside for anything we ever need. We need counseling, we have that. We need help, we have that. We need an advocate, we have that. You know, we need peace, we have that. Whatever we need, we have on the inside. That's the greater one on the inside of us. Amen. It's whatever we need. What do you need? I mean, you know, what are you going through? Whatever you need, God's already provided. It's on the inside of you. It's not out there somewhere in outer space. It's not in heaven somewhere. It's right on the inside of you. Where you walk, it walks. Where you are, it is. You know, Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I mean, he's right there with you. And you have everything you need. You've already won. You know, and so Jesus was trying to encourage, you know, his disciples at the time, but also trying to encourage us. You know what? I understand he's going to be in heaven, but the Spirit of the living God is going to dwell on the inside of you. You know, the one scripture says the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in us. You know, I mean, the same Spirit, think about that. And there's another scripture here. It talks about the things that I did and greater things shall you do because they go to the Father. And think about Jesus fed the 5,000. He's talking about all the stuff that he did. You know, that's the same Spirit that dwells on the inside of you. And you know, if you think about what dwells on the inside of you, it's really hard to think about what's on the outside. It's hard to think about those situations and circumstances, those bills and, you know, the sickness and disease and the tragedies. You know, they look pretty small compared to what's on the inside. But you know, one thing we have to continue to remember what's on the inside. And one thing he said the Holy Ghost would do is bring to remembrance things that we've been taught. Now, he was talking right here, the things that I taught you, talking about Jesus, talking to his disciples, but he'll bring scriptures back to our remembrance. Here's the problem. If we've never known the scriptures, we can't remember the scriptures. My grandfather always said this, the number one reason why people do not get their needs met is they don't know what the Word of God says. Find out what the Word of God says for yourself. That's why we need to get a hold of the scriptures. Understand what God's word says, because see, the more we understand what God's word says, the easier it is not to be afraid or not to go into depression when things hit us on the outside. Because we know what's been written. That's why when Jesus was tempted, every time he came back with, well, it's written. It is written. And so you need to know what's written here. You need to know what you've been promised. You need to know what's on the inside of you. You need to know, you know, what we can do. You know, the Bible says we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Amen. So you can do all things. Amen. If you know your strength, you know, whatever you need, you have. Whatever you need. I mean, think about that. Whatever you need. Whatever it is. You know, and I always talk about, you know, we sing the song, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Well, if the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells on the inside of us, then ultimately, you know, the answer lives on the inside. You know, the answer lives on the inside. So you have the answer on the inside. All you got to do is tap into the inside. And that's one reason why we have to renew our mind to understand what we have on the inside. You know, because what happens is so many times we don't use what we have because we don't realize what we have, or we forget, or the devil talks us out of what we have. You know, I mean, that it happens many times. And I'm not trying to pick on anyone because I've been there too. I've had my pity parties too. I've had my tough times too. But see, we need to get to a point whenever the devil attacks our mind, all of a sudden we have a thought. And you know, the Bible talks about casting down imaginations. See, that thought comes. As soon as that thought comes, you know, it might happen for a moment, but all of a sudden on the inside comes up scriptures. All of a sudden from the inside comes up things that Jesus said. All of a sudden from the inside, you think, you know what, Mr. Devil, you're not right. I don't care what you say, because it doesn't matter what things look like. It doesn't matter what you say, because you know what? My God, he's for me. And if my God's for me, it doesn't matter who's against me. It doesn't matter. Because I know the greater one is with me at all times. And I know I have already won. And the same feeling that I get after I have, you know, actually won is the feeling that I should have in the middle of the battle when I've already known I've already won. You know, it's kind of like playing an arcade game with unlimited lives. Do you realize you play a game different? I mean, if anyone ever played arcade games, some of you are older, maybe you didn't when you're younger, but you ever played any arcade games, if you ever played the unlimited life mode, you know, it doesn't matter. Well, that guy got killed. That's no, but boom, another one pops up. You know, now I understand sometimes you only have 3 lives or you only have 5 lives or whatever, but if you have unlimited lives, you don't care. You'll be a Rambo kind of guy. You don't really care. You know? No, don't do that in real life, okay? you know. And, you know, sometimes, yeah, but I'm identifying as a cat, and I have 9 lives. Anyway, that's a joke. Okay, a joke. Cats don't really have 9 lives, all right? They just say that on TV. You know, but if you have unlimited lives, you don't have to really worry about it because you know that you're in the end, you're still going to be alive. You know, but if you know you already won, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. You know, it doesn't matter what's happening around about you. It doesn't matter what the devil's trying to bring to you. Those things are only temporal. My situation is only temporary. Because I know that I'm victorious through Christ Jesus. I know who I am in Christ. I know what I've done. I know what Christ has done for me. I know the promises belong to me. And I know, you know, just like the disciples, when they were crossing the lake, whenever Jesus said, let's go the other side, I'm going to go the other side because Jesus is still in my boat. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, how much winds, waves, water comes. It doesn't matter. We're going the other side, me and Jesus. See, you need to think that everything is you and Jesus. It's not you. You're not by yourself. It's you and Jesus cruising along. It's not, and when the devil attacks you, he also attacks Jesus on the inside of you. And you know, but Jesus already won. He's, you know, he'll just understand it's you and Jesus. It's not just you. You guys are work together. You know, it's also amazing what he said to this, because this is what I really haven't really put together both of these things. Verse 27, Jesus still talking to the disciples, talked about talked about the Holy Spirit, the helper, the counselor, the advocate, you know, coming. But then verse 27 says, peace I leave with you, my perfect peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. It says, do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge. So Jesus basically said, you know what? It's my will that you have peace all the time. And I'm going to pray that you have peace in every circumstance, perfect peace, not just peace, you know, every other day. See, perfect peace is not peace, you know, I'm not on a one day no peace. This is perfect peace. I'm going to pray that you have perfect peace and courage and strength in every challenge. So it means you need to go into every situation with perfect peace. You know, it's hard to get upset when you have peace about a situation. It's hard to get upset. And so the thing about it is that we should have peace about every situation. Well, yeah, but things aren't going good. But Jesus has already won. But it doesn't look really, really good. Doesn't matter what it looks like. God's in control. He's there. He's helping me. I mean, you know, I can have peace. You know, this is not peace as the world has, because the world only has peace whenever it looks peaceful. All right, but it's not about if it looks peaceful or doesn't look peaceful. You have perfect peace. You know, and the Bible talks about, you know, that your mind will be in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on Him. Keep your mind on Christ and you'll have perfect peace. Think about what He's done. Think about that He's with you. Think about He loves you. Think about that you, you know, it's not that you can make it. You have made it. Amen. You are making it. You know, and it doesn't matter how tough it looks. It doesn't matter how hard it looks. You're making it through. You can have peace when the storm hits. You can have peace when everything is falling apart. You can have peace when everybody else doesn't know what to do. Because you know the greater one is with you. You know the greater one is on the inside of you. You know that you have, you need to unleash what's on the inside of you. It's not the beast. You know, there's one, you know, people say unleash the beast. It's not the beast. You unleash Jesus. You know, because I know that there's a thing that says unleash the beast. Well, you know, you don't have the beast. You have Jesus on the inside. But you need to unleash Him sometimes. Well, you know, let His power and love and grace and mercy overtake you. Because you don't know what to do. It's not about you knowing what to do. But the greater one, you know, leading you, guiding you, helping you through. Every time. You know, just you don't have to lean to your own understanding. Just trust God. Just trust God. And, you know, if you can't trust God, who can you trust? I mean, who can you trust? I mean, you know, a lot of people aren't trustworthy, but you can trust God. I want to sum this up with an illustration. Remember the Old Testament? Anyone remember Old Testament? You know, sometimes I have to, because I tell you what, you're teaching at Rhema, some of these people don't remember the Old Testament. Some, they don't even know the New Testament. And then you talk about some Bible stories and they think, oh, I thought that was a fairy tale. Well, there is a story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Anyone remember that story? Amen. All right, you know, they were there and the king that was full of himself decided to make a big statue made of gold of himself because he could. And then try to say, hey, you know, guys, we're going to gather everybody around and you're going to bow down. It's not enough you bow down before me. Now you're going to bow down before my statue. Because it would be a good picture to put on Facebook. You know, so all these people go and bow down. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't bow down. But, you know, the king really liked him. I said, you know, you guys are good guys and we really like you. So maybe you didn't hear what you're supposed to do because you messed my picture up. And I tried to get, you know, I had my selfie stick out and stuff, and everyone was bowed down, but you guys were still standing up, and it messed things up. I can't put that on there. So I'm going to give you another chance. We're going to play the music again, and I need you guys to bow down so my picture will come out good. And I'm kind of joking about the picture thing. I don't really know whether he's really took a picture or not. But the point is that they're supposed to bow down, and second time the music played, they didn't bow down, and so the king didn't really like that a whole lot. And so he told me he's going to throw them in the fiery furnace. And they told him, well, the God they serve would deliver them. And even if the God they serve didn't deliver them, they're still not going to bow to his image. So the king got really mad and said, you know what? I'm not going to just kill you one time. I'm going to kill you seven times that way. I'm going to turn it seven times hotter. So he bound them up. And the guy that threw them in actually died. You know, some of the top king guards are the ones that threw them in the fire, and they died because it was so hot. But when they got into the fire, they looked in there and said, didn't we throw three guys bound up? And they said, yeah, but there's four guys, and they're all walking around. And one guy looks like the Son of God. Now, interesting part about it is that this king knew what the Son of God looks like.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how he knew that, because, you know, I mean, we've seen all kinds of pictures and seen all kinds, you know, of stuff. You know, Jesus came. I mean, how does he know what the Son of God looks like? And so it's interesting. And so I said, hey, can somebody tell these guys to come out here? Now, I'm sure that they didn't get as close to the fire as they did last time, because they don't want, I mean, I wouldn't want to, I don't want that job. Yeah, I got to go over there and by the edge and tell them to come out. So they came out and they're walking around and their clothes weren't even burnt. They didn't smell of smoke, the Bible says. And well, that's amazing, because if you're close to anyone that's smoking and you smell like smoke, I mean, that smoke would get on you. All right. So, you know, that was a miraculous story. And it was such an awesome story. You know, how the fourth man was there in the fire. But here's the deal. What if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew before they went in that the fourth man was going to be there walking with them? Because the deal is that you know that. You have that knowledge. You walk in with the fourth man. You don't have to wait for him to show up in the middle of your trials and tribulations. You walk in with the greater one. You walk in with the fourth man in the fire. You walk in with the greater one. Whenever you face any situation, at the beginning, you know the outcome before you even start. And I tell you what, it'll change your perspective. Because I guarantee you, when they walked out of the fire, they had a bigger smile on their face than they did when they walked in. I guarantee you, you know, because they even told the king, even if the Lord doesn't deliver us, we're still not going to bow down because we love God that much. So they thought he would, but they didn't know for sure. But when they walked out, they knew for sure. Here's the deal is whenever you walk in the fire, you already know for sure. You already know for sure. You already have. That's why we can walk in peace. That's why you can move forward in peace, because you already know the outcome. You've already won. I mean, you know, I tell you, I mean, that'll make you shout. If you understand the perspective that you've already won, and when you walk in the fire, you can walk in the fire with a smile on your face. And you're thinking, well, why is that guy smiling? It's not a pleasant thing. Because he knows what's on the inside. So I want you to know what's on the inside. And I want you to act like you know what's on the inside. You know, you need to notify your face sometimes what's on the inside. Because there's so many people that walk around, they're not smiling a whole lot. They're not happy a whole lot. In fact, sometimes I just want to say, why don't you clap your hands? And they're like, what for? Because if you're happy, you know it, you clap your hands, you know, because we learned that when we were a kid. Or you stomp your feet, or one of those kind of things. For some of you that went to children's church, you know, maybe if you clap your hands more, you get happy. I don't know. But, you know, sometimes I'm wondering, you know, you look at people and you're thinking, man, if I looked like that, I don't know if I'd want to be a Christian. You know, because, and sometimes I just wonder if we even know what we have by the way we look. You know, and you know, you can just see countenance on people's faces. You can see, and I guarantee you, whenever they came, you know, out of the fire, I guarantee you they were beaming. They were beaming. Now, the interesting part about it is when they came out of the fire, there were only three guys. Jesus didn't come out of the fire with them and talk about Nebuchadnezzar or anything. There was just the three of them. But the fourth man was still with them. And the thing is, wherever you walk, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how tough it looks, you walk in with the advantage. You walk in already won. You walk in with the fourth man. You walk in with peace. You walk in knowing that you're going to get through it. You walk in knowing that those things are only temporal. You walk in knowing the devil's a liar. And no matter what he says, no matter what it looks like, you've already won. You already won 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ died upon that cross, when he went down to hell and defeated the Satan. You're already the winner. So notify your face. Start having peace. Act like a winner. You know, act like a champion. Stop acting like a loser. Stop feeling like a loser. See, a lot of times the reason you act like a loser is because you feel like a loser. Because the devil beats you over the head. You're a loser, you're a loser. The devil's a liar. You know, many times I know the way it is in our own life. If we kind of determine that someone we hang around with or have hung around with a lot doesn't always tell the truth. You know, they have that evangelical anointing, you know. Well, we had 12 people got saved last night. No, sorry, 100 people got saved last night. Find out really, actually, maybe it's probably 144, you know, because that's 12 times 12. There's really only 12 people there, but, you know, 144 people got saved. I don't know how that happened. So, anyway, it just this happens. But, you know, just, you know, so if people are liars, we tend not to believe them after a while. So why are you still listening to the devil? I know that makes sense. You know, because we know he's a liar. We've already been told. And so whenever something comes your way and it looks like you can't, then you know that can't be God, because you can do all things. When something comes your way, it looks like that there's no way you're going to make it. Well, that can't be God, because he's already made a way of escape. So we know when it's the devil, and we know when it's not. So quit listening. Sometimes you just need to talk and quit listening. Some of you, I know, talk a lot, but some of you need to, you know, the Bible says resist the devil. Well, the way to resist the devil is open up your mouth and say, get out of here. I don't know how many times I've told the devil, I said, Mr. Devil, you have no right, you have no authority in my life, in my family's life. Come on. You must leave. You know, because I have power and authority through Jesus' name. I know what I have on the inside. Amen. So sometimes we need to notify our face to what we have on the inside. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for just this short little message, and just help us to understand that whenever we're facing any kind of situation, what we have on the inside. Understand, you know, the greater one is on the inside of us, and there's nothing that we can't do if we understand what's on the inside. And Father God, we thank you for each and every person that's here. And Father, we thank you that next time that they start facing a situation, that immediately, instead of getting upset, they'll start having peace because they'll understand that they've already won. They understand that the battle is not theirs, but it's God's, and God's already won the battle for them. Father God, we just thank you for each and every person here. We just pray for them. We thank you for their life. We thank you, Father, that you're working in their life. We thank you, Father, that you're loving them, that you care for them, that you're showing them what to do. And we thank you for everything you're doing. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, if you're here tonight and you need prayer for anything, you need salvation, you need to infilling of the Holy Spirit, or maybe you need healing, or you just need someone to pray with you for anything. We have some men over here, some women over there. If you happen to be a man, you go to the men's side. If you happen to be a woman, you go to the woman's side. If you don't know what you are, we have ushers here that will help you and identify to what side you need to go to. I mean, let's all stand up. If you're a first-time visitor, first of all, we're glad to have you. You know, my dad is a pastor. He's normally here. He's not here today. He's in New York. But we're glad to have you tonight. And we have a special thing for you. If you'll just go with our connection team, and they have a gift for you. They want to thank you for coming. And we invite you to come back here Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Sunday nights at 6 p.m., and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Amen. Well, turn around, shake hands with two or three people, tell them they're a winner, and you're dismissed.